This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, Will Pugh and James Jones. What a show we're going to have for you tonight. So much to say. The fallout is happening right here. There is such an investigation going on that we're giving you 90 minutes of West Ham show tonight, 7 till 8.30. So plenty of time for you to have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number, so make sure you get in touch. We're going to be looking, obviously, the disappointing Leicester game, West Brom on the weekend, Bilic's return. I know our very own James Jones is saying maybe the worst performance he's ever seen from West Ham, but I have to say, not sure if he goes a lot. I mean, do you go to games, James? Do you watch them on the TV, or do you just read the updates on the website?
I love you now. I've been a sin to get older for 25 years, mate.
25 years. And that's the worst you've seen?
Well, I've been thinking about it
since. Two relegations.
And even Will went, surely not. He brought up the 5-0 defeat at Nottingham Forest, but that was our youth team, really, wasn't it?
I genuinely can't think
of what. I mean, there's been so many. They all just kind of blend into one.
Because
Saturday was the most recent one, that was the worst.
And when you pointed out it was like with virtually our strongest team as well, I thought, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible. I mean, it was West Brom's.
Second string, third string. Well, I do feel like we've done well at our plan to start the show in a positive, upbeat manner, James, like we agreed before.
I know, yeah. As we're walking in. Right, yeah. Should we have a positive one this week?
Come on. Well, quickly on a positive, can I just say, it may be 2020, but West Ham are staying the same. Will Pugh, what a delightful, you've got a bit of a colour about you, I mean. You've got a bit of a tan, he's looking glorious, he's growing his barnet, he's wearing a beautiful green... like polo neck, absolutely delicious.
That's all I've got left to hold on to, mate, is my skiing tan. That's about it. The rest of me is just falling apart.
Well, I get to enjoy it for 90 minutes. Like I said, on the show, we're going to be talking about those two games, a little bit of transfer business, then looking ahead to seeing that possibly there is some light at the end of the tunnel. West Ham need points. I'm glad they've got the world, European and the league leaders, Liverpool, tomorrow night, and then Brighton on the weekend. As James gives me another not-so-good look. But then a positive on the show, it is, of course, the Rogue Players West Ham Mystery Players Quiz. That will be a good one.
It's all I'm here for.
James, what's up? I'm worried about you, mate.
Just because of his jumper?
Sorry, man. Unbelievable.
You said it was a positive start.
We had a polo neck tonight. We both wore polo necks last time.
Matching outfits. Yeah.
I thought, I wore that
in
last
the clothing
Tuesday,
stakes,
so.
Though. Will's won tonight, 1-0, definitely.
There's nothing wrong with my jumper.
I didn't say there was, I just said Will's won.
That's all I've got as well. We discovered earlier on that after James's shambles of a start to the fantasy football season, he's somehow pulled that out of the bag and he's given me an absolute schooling. He's beat me at the quiz 8-5. Yeah. I've literally got nothing else on him.
Now we're talking positive. Keep going. Keep going.
If he starts wearing better clothes than me as well, then that really is the end for me.
Well, that is it. They're not wearing matching jumpers tonight, of course, but like I said, Will is winning in the clothing stakes. Maybe we'll do a segment on that in the future because we're starting to struggle to talk about football. Let's go back a little bit. Before we get into the West Brom game, before we talk about the horror that you both saw, it was Leicester. It was a bit of a nightmare as well. 4-1 this time at their place. We know the reverse fixture this season was the game in which Pellegrini got sacked afterwards. Leicester put out a second string team then. What happened in the week last week, James?
I think we said on the show, didn't we, that I think we were half expecting that result. We had like a good 15-minute spell in the second half, didn't we? And we got the goal, we got the penalty. But the problem is, you know, it's all very well having 15-minute good spells, but unless you're actually going to capitalise and make it, you know, worth your while, then you're going to get beaten by a very, very good Leicester team. They've been superb this year, and we said that last week, didn't we? It's frustrating, but
just quickly, sorry to just pull you up. When you said that 15-minute spell, do you think it was a 15-minute good spell or a 15-minute spell of not being absolutely turgid, which we're getting used to recently?
I think that's probably it. You know, I think, you know, we have been incredibly poor for weeks now. That, you know, a 15-minute spell where we're not incredibly poor and we're just a little bit rubbish actually is a positive. We got the penalty and we thought, okay, because we can see that second goal late in the first half, which is always a bit of a killer when you go in 2-0 down rather than 1-0. Makes it seem a little bit harder to come back. But we got the early goal in the second half, and he thought, oh, maybe we can. But obviously it didn't happen, and they get two goals in the last 10 minutes to make it look a lot worse than, you know, perhaps it was really. But, I mean, they're a fantastic side, Leicester. And I think...
They didn't have to be. Though,
they didn't
did
have
they?
To be. But
they didn't have to be, yeah. What,
but we've just not been great. And that's been a story for weeks now. So I wasn't surprised at all.
You wasn't surprised. Obviously, Will, you're saying it wasn't necessarily 50 minutes of good play. It was just 50 minutes where maybe West Ham weren't as bad as they were previously in the game. What is worrying then at the minute? I know we're saying let's be positive, but why are we seeing this torrid run of form and nothing really is quite coming off?
It's just... We will sound like broken records, Charlie, don't we? But it's just such a toxic environment in the club. It's getting worse and worse and worse. I think I was thinking the same thing was happening to Bournemouth not too long ago.
Mm.
And then you obviously had that, they had that win out of nowhere, didn't they? I think it was Watford at home, I think they beat. And
it was Brighton, wasn't it?
Might have been, sorry, it was Brighton, yeah, you're right, yeah. And yeah, that sort of came out of nowhere, and you thought, oh, blimey, I really didn't see that coming. I thought they were on a slide with us, like, just hurtling towards nothingness. And... the only hope you've got is that we get a result like that. Obviously, it's not going to happen against Liverpool, and we've got Brighton coming up, we've got Liverpool again, and Man City in our next five games or whatever it is. So I think unlike Bournemouth, where they had that win against Brighton, who have got a bad game in them, they look all right, Brighton, but they've got a bad game in them. Mm. I think we're pinning our hopes on the fact that Brighton will have a bad game against us, and we just get a win that no one sees coming out of nowhere. Because, like, so you dance in the line, or I'm certainly dancing the line between sounding like a boring, negative, dour, miserable, broken record, which is exactly what I am, but trying to be realistic and maintaining a bit of integrity by saying, of course, we're not going to beat Liverpool, Manchester City. Like James touched on it earlier, we had virtually a full strength team out against West Brom, virtually a full strength team, and it was woeful.
It took eighth minute to our first shot on target. Fans celebrated like we'd scored.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, well, this is getting silly now. We might as well just find the positives. But
honestly, mate, it's just, what do you say? What do you say at this stage? It's been weeks and weeks and weeks. The first few weeks when it all started, there was things to talk about with Pellegrini, and we were saying, right, come on, make a change now. The change has been made now. That new manager boost just absolutely, invisible wasn't even a thing, was it? We didn't get any of that. I know people will say about Bournemouth, and I know you're giggling to yourself.
It really annoys you that we beat Bournemouth 4-0, didn't it?
Well, I said it after the game, and you called me a snooze merchant, I think, after I said, well, can everyone calm down a bit because it was only Bournemouth? I didn't want to be proved wrong, but it is. And what are we going to get out of the next four games? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I hope we there is more to saying in fear of sounding like broken records, because we have got a 90-minute show, so we're going to need to dig a little bit deeper. But, Will, you said it's a comparison you're making with Bournemouth, but one I want to make now, you said Burnley, they're definitely going down a few weeks back when West Ham played them. Now, they've got two wins out of the blue. They beat Leicester. They beat Man United at Old Trafford. Can West Ham maybe get two of these freak results that no one, let's be honest, and it's not a disservice to Burnley, no one predicted Burnley to get those two results?
I think, I mean, if I did say that, fair enough, but I think it was Bournemouth. I've saying that about Bournemouth for a while. I thought they were proper dead and buried, and them and Norwich, and then I thought it was just going to be a shootout between us, Aston Villa, and whoever. Yeah, maybe Burnley, but I don't think they're definite. I think with Burnley, they've got a team spirit and a plan, haven't they? Mm. Not that it always necessarily comes off, but they've had a man there who, you know, cares about that club more than anything. He's been there for a long time. Everyone who walks through the door at Burnley knows what they're expected to do, don't they? Mm. Sean Dyche will let them know. He lets all his players know. And he admitted himself recently. He said, the way we play, it doesn't always work every single week, but we play to the best of our... Burnley are maximising their potential every single season, aren't they? They're getting the very best they can out of that football club. They get the best out of the manager, and he is an absolute master at getting the best out of that bunch of... Let's be honest, like, not average players, because they're excellent at what they do when they do it. But if you, no one would go, oh God, I'd really fancy that Dwight McNeil or Chris Wood from Burnley are probably their best two players. Maybe the keeper, he's like played pretty well. But yeah, as a whole, I know it's such a football cliche, but Burnley play well as a team, don't they? As a unit, and they've got an identity and a plan and a system, and everyone knows what they're doing. If you asked anyone in football, not just West Ham fans, anyone in football at all, what is West Ham's brand? What is their plan? What's their style under Pellegrini or Moyes? Their brand, plan and style is a team that has no brand, plan and style, isn't it? And just gets thrown out in the... Because what is it? What is it?
Well, I mean, this issue with the fact that we don't really have an identity as a football club anymore runs very, very deep to the fact that, you know, even as far as our scouting system, we have, like, what, two scouts in the books. It's been reported recently we've only got two scouts.
Can I just say, Martin Allen, who was on Lostport Drive, disputed this and said this is absolute nonsense. West Ham do have more scouts than this. I don't know if that's true, but he did say that.
Well, maybe.
He said, I don't know where this attack on West Ham's come from. He said, we're not a Premier League club with two scouts. That's just what he said.
Okay, fair enough. But, I mean, you still wonder about sort of what goes on in terms of the scouting network of the club, because there is always a scattergun approach. There's always we don't go into a transfer window knowing, okay, right, we need a right back. Take this transfer window, we need a right back, we need a holding midfielder, we probably need a striker as well. We've ended up having to buy a goalkeeper because the one we bought in the summer is rubbish.
At least we addressed that, to be fair.
We've got that, but we've ended up getting one that we had before that we didn't think was good enough. And he's half injured, by the way.
Yeah.
So there wasn't really a plan there. Okay, it ended up being a bit last minute, but there wasn't really a plan there. And they had long enough to work out they needed to buy a goalkeeper in January.
Yeah.
And it's taken up until, what, 4 days before the end of the transfer window. We'll talk about a little bit transfers after the break, I'm sure, but... To potentially get a holding midfielder in. Still no striker. Moyes come out today and said there's no striker. We're probably going to buy another striker. And there's no right back. Two positions that we desperately need to do. So that tells me that there's no plan in terms of, right, okay, what players do we need to bring in to really be a success? And that's like that every single transfer window. Even with the director of football, it's still a little bit scattergun, wasn't it?
What I think was interesting, I don't know if either of you heard it, Joe Cole was talking on the topic the other day, and he spoke quite strongly, to be fair to him, and which was, that was quite refreshing to see, and he sort of said it out. And Steve McManaman chimed in, and a lot of the stuff was a bit like, it sounded like a bloke who's just read a few headlines about West Ham, was churning them out.
But McManaman just brought it back to Liverpool, didn't he?
Yeah. But what he did say, he did mention it there, he just said there doesn't really seem any in the players that, you know, which I think you can do whether you're West Ham intensive or not. So McManaman, whether he watches West Ham, I don't suppose he does that much, but he's just by looking at the players we've brought in, he said it himself. He said it's really just bizarre. He said there's no real, it's not like some clubs have got a policy of bringing in players towards the end of their career or younger players they want to develop. He said, you know, you'll have some who are like the right backs are such a classic example. You've got Zabaleta, who's such a slow, old, technical player, if you like. And then Fredericks, who's basically a winger. Left back is exactly the same. You've got Cresswell, who's like can drop in and play as a centre-half, much more defensive player. And then you've got another glorified left winger to replace him in Masuaku. It just seems odd where you haven't got players that slot in and play the same system. What you look at the great teams, Manchester City and Liverpool, they play the exact same way, don't they? Whoever is on the pitch. They've got like ready-made replacements, if you like poor man's versions, granted, but they've got kind of the same version.
The system and style stays the same,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It's just the components just slip in. But you've got like a Divock Origi is kind of like a bit of a poor man's version. He's like pacey and athletic, isn't he? And I just think we haven't got... You've got... If Fredericks comes out, we're used to... Just say Fredericks plays a stream of games... The players get used to having a rapid right back so they can put balls in the channels and he can get down the wings and he can attack. And then you've got, if he gets injured or suspended, and you've got to play with Zabaleta next week, and the whole system changes
doesn't
everything,
it? Doesn't it? Yeah.
Of course it does. I mean, you look with the centre forwards. Sebastian Haller, £45 million, supposed to be really good. Supposed to be really good because last year he played with someone else, so we haven't bought a partner for him, just thrown him up there on his own. But if he gets injured, who's our sub or our replacement? Albion Ayeti, 5'4" inch bloke who's nothing like Haller whatsoever.
This backs it all up, is that, you know, they went from going for the Spanish lad or the Uruguayan lad in the summer.
Maxi Gomez,
and ended up with, and then when he went somewhere else, they ended up going for Seb Haller. Two very, very different strikers. No plan. Very, very clearly, no plan or structure in terms of what they're trying to do.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point that Will made there. I do think there's not, and James saying it there, there is no plan with the board and that recruitment, and talking obviously the scouting network, there's so much to talk about. We're going to be talking about transfers. West Ham posting a loss today. We'll tell you how much in just a second, and looking at Bilic's return. Love Sport. You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Will Pugh. Well, the fallout, like I said, is happening right here. We talked a little bit about that Leicester game. We're going to cover the West Brom game, Bilic's return, marking West Ham's exit in the FA Cup. 3 years running that they have crashed out in the fourth round. Not good enough on the weekend. And obviously, big news today. West Ham posting financial losses of just over £25 million. The club saying it is a necessity that they stay in the Premier League. Well, maybe they'll need to be spending a little bit more money to do so. But we just spoke about the scouting network. So much there is need to be said and covered on the Hammers, and you can have your say tonight. Tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. James, just quickly then, before we look at that massacre on the weekend, the West Brom game, because I know you put out a few tweets that maybe got a little bit of traction. I'm not sure you can tell me a little bit about that in a minute. But when Will mentioned Bournemouth are, you know, hurtling towards that relegation fight, Norwich are in it, you know, Villa, Watford, a team that maybe had a new manager bounce. Everyone's mentioning the teams in and around there. After that game with Leicester, West Ham were just outside the relegation places on goal difference. But it may sound silly, but no one's really mentioning when they go, oh, those teams in a relegation fight. No one's really mentioning West Ham. Is that because they believe this is a blip and they'll get out of it? Or that actually we're going under the radar and we're in real, real danger here?
I mean, personally, I think we're going under the radar a little bit. I was talking to a couple of guys at work earlier and they were like, West Ham won't go down.
Well, this is what I mean.
Talking about West Ham won't go down. It's like, well, the trouble is you're not really seeing it from our point of view. It's not just a shambles on the pitch, it's a shambles off the pitch. You know, when it takes, you know, to the, what is it, the 28th of January to make your first proper signing of the window when you're in a relegation battle. For me, that's a really worrying sign that they've got no idea what direction, like, you know, they're taking this football club. And that's not a dig at David Moyes, because I think David Moyes has come into a very, very difficult situation. And I don't blame him for the way it's gone since he's taken over the club. I think, you know, okay, injuries have been a bit of a problem. And, you know, he's quite clearly having a battle behind the scenes to be able to bring in the players he wants to bring in to let him do his job properly. But there, you know, it's still very tight down there. I think, was it 8 points between, like, eighth and
it's ridiculous.
Where we are?
Yeah, Burnley have had them 2 wins and now they're 4 points off fifth.
Exactly. And it's crazy. So, yeah, it could take us a couple of wins and suddenly we're back in for a fight for a top 10 finish. But it's where those 2 wins come from. And given our fixture is coming up, you know, it's very difficult to see where that comes from. You know, Liverpool on Wednesday night, very, very, very unlikely. Brighton, we haven't beaten them since they came up to the Premier
Wouldn't
League.
Wouldn't it be typical West Ham that after all this, and then Liverpool have won 23 out of 24 league games, West Ham beat them?
Well, I mean, I was going to say this, and you know, I mentioned this to you earlier. It would be typical West Ham if we did get something. I'm not saying we'd win.
Yeah.
We've got something against Liverpool. But what will happen is we'll get something against Liverpool and then we'll go and lose it out to Burnley.
Very West Ham.
That's what West Ham do. That's what West Ham do. We've done that in my entire life. I'm not saying, I mean, I'm fully expecting us to get battered 7-0 by Liverpool and then lose 1-0 in the last minute against Brighton. I mean, that's what I'm expecting. But I would not be surprised in the slightest if we nicked a point against Liverpool and then lost to Brighton. Because, you know, that's West Ham. Every single West Ham fan listening to this will be like, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. Apart from you, Will.
enters the conversation.
I'm just surprised you think we'll hold on till 90 minutes before Brighton score their first one.
All right, 88th minute.
If we get anything against Liverpool, I'll eat my shoe.
Can we clip that up?
I mean, I know what you mean, and I do like those age-old typical West Ham.
But that's what you say. If we want to make it positive, what we've got nothing to hold on to. We don't want to be broken records.
It's the West Ham way,
don't we?
It's the West Ham way.
Oh goodness me!
Please
perhaps
give us something.
Jason Cummins from Shrewsbury on loan. We can bang a couple against them. No, but I think you know what. Right. So we were talking about this at the weekend. Went to the game with my dad and. We were just sitting watching it all play out in front of us and just saying, you know, I haven't seen it this bad for a very long time. And I think that the last time we were in this sort of relegation scrap, if you like, and then got out of it was obviously that famous Great Escape season. But in that year then, what we were saying, the difference was you had some players in that team who cared. You had James Collins, Bobby Zamora, Mark Noble, and you had, and then you had Tevez
leaders,
in the squad.
Characters.
Exactly. All right, Tevez hadn't made it good quite when we were getting into the trouble, but you felt that, and Robert Green in goal as well, you felt you had players in that team who, you know what, actually, it might not be going right for them at the moment, but they care about this and they can dig us out of this. If ever there was a group of players who could, and you sprinkle in that little bit of Carlos Tevez magic and you think, you know what, you sort of believed it. I mean, who have we got? Who's going to come up with something like that? Who's going to, A, dig in? Because I think we can tell from the past few weeks/months performances, and this is what Joe Cole was alluding to a bit. I think he said that he's seen so many players come through when he was at the club and since that come through West Ham. I think he used the word on a jolly, and they come and have a 6-month holiday in London, he said. And you look at the team now, and whether they're doing that or not, I don't know, but who's going to dig in for you? Who cares as much as the fans do? Because last time we got ourselves out of a predicament like this, you had those players I've just mentioned there in the team who did care. At least half of the squad, or the half of the first 11, quality aside, cared enough about getting us out of that quagmire that we were in. Now, who do you look to? Declan Rice has looked a shadow of his former self, and I think it's unfair to put so much pressure on a man so young anyway. Fabianski's good, but the 10 players in front of him, he might be able to save a few, but if you get peppered with 25 shots in a game, doesn't matter how good you are or what goalkeeper you are, some of them are going to go in. Who is it on the pitch that you think, he's like, all right?
It's only, I mean, you back Snodgrass to fight your corner.
Yep.
Mark Noble, obviously. I mean, Aaron Creswell, potentially.
But then you've named two players and you've started scratching already, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ogbonna's been there for how long now? Nearly 5 years, I think. Ogbonna's been there.
Yeah.
And you think, for one of our sort of longest serving players, I know he's never really potentially been that sort of tight, but you think, you know what, come on. Like, you've been here 5 years. You should be one of us by now. You should be part of this. But do you feel like he is? Not particularly.
No.
Balbuena at the weekend, just shambles. You know, I know he hasn't been there for very long. Zabaleta, he would probably have that heart, but the man is 75 years of age now. Just hasn't got it in his legs still. Lanzini, even. I honestly think now that the weight of the situation and the environment in which these players are being asked to perform in, players, young men, you've got to remember, Lanzini particularly, Declan Rice, and the players that you'd look to for a bit of heart and for something a bit special. I just think the weight of the whole situation they're being asked to perform in is weighing down on them now and just crushing any of that spark or any of that energy that might have been able to help us out.
Well, on the game then, obviously, West Brom on the weekend, fourth round of the FA Cup. We know what's happened in the past two seasons. We know what's happened earlier on in the season against Oxford. A great chance to go forward. Virtually, you both said, the strongest lineup that maybe West Ham could have picked on the day. James, we have to come to it. Obviously, no shots on target till 10 minutes to go. Just obviously, it was just a strange performance, a woeful performance, even Will said. But for you, the worst performance you've seen go into the games. And obviously, like you said, recency bias, you can name a few, but on the surface of it at the minute, just absolutely, and without sugarcoating it, terrible.
I think when you consider the fact it was almost a first team squad, and there's a number of injuries to a lot of our first team players at the moment, prevented it from being a fully first team squad. But, you know, half our young players are all out on loan at the moment, so there was really no youngsters involved. Even the youngsters on the bench didn't even get a sniff. It was a bunch of first team West Ham United footballers up against a second string West Brom team, Championship West Brom team, for 25 minutes were down to 10 men.
Who were also struggling for form in the league going into it, weren't they?
Without winning 6 league games. And, you know, you'd expect a far better performance. You know, the fact that David Moyes was forced into making 3 substitutions at half time because it was that bad, right? And it was that bad.
Where's the application? Where's the fight?
Well, I mean, this goes back to exactly what Will said. There is no fight in a lot of those players. The fact that, I mean, Mark Noble said it right at the end after the game. He said,
"Yeah,
this football club, at the standard it's in, should not be relying on a 33-year-old Mark Noble to come on at half time to change an FA Cup tie against lower league opposition. Second string low league opposition. Why are we in this position where we've had to come on?" And he played all right when he came on. He was the only one that really looked like he wanted to do something. But we shouldn't have been in that situation. If anything, given his age, he shouldn't have been needed on Saturday. Yeah, okay, he make up the numbers on the bench. He shouldn't have been needed. The fact we had to bring him on at half time for 45 minutes to try and, you know, get us out of trouble says all you need to know about how bad it was. Yeah, there probably have been worse performances. But it's, you know, if we'd have lost that game 3-2, it was a really good game of football. West Brom had to fight. We had to fight, and then West Brom nicked it to death. I'd have been like, okay, fair enough. We've been beaten on the day.
West Brom weren't even that good, were they?
But they didn't even have to play well. Yeah. West Brom didn't even have to play well, and even when they went down to 10 men, they didn't even have to go backs to the wall. It was like nothing really happened.
I know I've asked you this question on the show before, and I know obviously what's happened with the recruitment and the board and everything, but how have we come from pre-season? I remember one of the first shows, Will going, do we care much? Do we look into pre-season friendlies? How much do they mean? And going, we can't wait for this year. You know, the strongest 11 that we've ever put out, our strongest squad, we're really expecting much. So now sitting in January, we're going, we're in this relegation fight. We're sounding like broken records. You know, it's not going well. How have we gone from there to there on the pitch? Because you mentioned there was a sprinkle of Tevez, there was those players that could get us out of it, but these are the same players that we thought this is the strongest West Ham team that we'd ever seen in the Premier League. Where's it all gone wrong, Will?
Goodness me. Where do you start? I honestly don't know. You can't put your finger on it, can you? You look at the beginning of the season. I remember thinking, I think we nicked a point at Brighton, and I think Javier Hernandez scored the equaliser. God, we miss him. I think Hernandez scored, and we really didn't deserve anything from the game. And there was another game around that sort of time where I think we nicked a point away. It might have been, I remember Villa we played earlier on in the season, and we didn't really deserve anything. And you thought, oh, you know what? And I think we were guilty at the time. I definitely was. I know you were as well. We were guilty of the time of looking and going, ah, brilliant, and putting a positive spin on it and going, ah, brilliant, this is the sign, because we'd never do this. Declan Rice came out after the Villa game, said we'd have lost that last season, blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
we won't get too ahead of ourselves. It's Man United, they're rubbish. Yeah. We should be beating them.
but the games, no, I think the more where we snuck a point or two where we shouldn't have, you think, we would have lost them last year. And phrases like that make you forget about the fact you've been the second best team for 75 minutes. So I think earlier in the season, we were perhaps papering over the cracks a little bit with a few results. And I just think their chickens have gradually come home to roost. Or the pigeons, or whatever bird it is that's supposed to go in that phrase. And I think that's what it is. And then I think it's one of those snowball effects, isn't it? The environment, the club, the management, and the whole thing just turns toxic and keeps going and going and going. And there's just been no break.
Well, before I allow James the chance to reply, Will, it is chickens. You were correct. But we are going to look at some transfers. And James, I want you to stew on that for just a second, because I want you to know, what is it that we think potentially has gone wrong? But what do you think has gone wrong? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558.
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, Will Pugh and James Jones. Well, this was the only carrot to get James to come today. He's had enough. He's off the West Ham bandwagon. He doesn't want to rile up any more fans. He's seen far too much of that fantastic football this year. He's gone on to bigger and better things. Well, it is the favourite. It's the Rogue Players. West Ham Mystery Players Quiz. The quiz is three West Ham mystery players, five clues. The clues get easier as I go on. The first person to get that wins the point. 3 points on offer. We're hoping for a victory tonight. Obviously, the scores, Will, are currently...
James is winning 8-5 on game weeks overall, and the points difference, which only really matters if we're drawing on game weeks, sits at 22-16 to James. So the goal
healthy for lead.
Well, obviously everyone who listens will remember, Charlie, I was of course 4-1 down at one stage, managed to claw it back to 4-4. I just like to keep the fans entertained, so it's not a Liverpool whitewash, you know.
Liverpool whitewash. Unbelievable. Well, I'm feeling like Will needs to get back into it, because James is starting maybe to just, I don't say run away with it, but 8-5 is a healthy lead. But you never know what happens, and this is your first West Ham Mystery Player. Fingers on the buzzer. If you're playing at home, please tweet us your answers at Love Sport Radio. Player number one, clue number one. Signed by John Lyle for 300,000. Clue number two. Debut was in April 1988.
I wasn't even born then.
clue so number three.
First one.
Clue. Well, if you weren't, obviously neither was I.
All right.
All right, you older. You OAP. Clue number three. Last goal for West Ham was against Swansea in 1999. Clue number...
Steve Potts?
That is incorrect. Clue number four. Last player to score in front of the Kop. Clue number five. Best left back of all time.
Julian Dix.
For West Ham. And that is correct. Oh, and that is Will one, James Neal. But James, as always, there are two players still you can claim victory tonight in the Rogue Players West Ham Mystery Players Quiz. Player number two. Clue number one. Career began at Crewe in 1982.
James, what is it with all these 80s?
Weren't even born then.
Yeah. Oh, I was.
Clue number two. Joined West Ham on loan in December 1996. Clue number three. Played seven games for West Ham. So a real legend. Clue number four. Managed Luton, Hartlepool and Grimsby. Managed Luton, Hartlepool and Grimsby. Would be quite known for the time of managing Luton as well.
All right, go on.
Won the Premier League with Blackburn.
Daly?
No.
Oh.
Craig Forrest?
No.
Rob Lee?
No.
Blimey.
Craig Forrest?
Scored a goal against Arsenal when they didn't have that stand and had that naughty painting. Do you remember that mural they had?
The mural?
Yeah, do you remember it?
Nah,
right, go on, recap on the clues.
Right, career began at Crewe 1982, joined West Ham on loan in December 1996, played seven games for West Ham, managed Luton, Hartlepool, Grimsby, won the Premier League with Blackburn Rovers. Do you want to bank player two and go on to player three?
Yeah, go on.
Player three it is. Clue number one. If you do know player two, you can get involved tonight. But player number three, clue number one, born in Spain. Should narrow it down.
Clue be German or something, isn't he?
Clue number two. Debut was against Crystal Palace in 2014.
Oh, no. Oh, Kepa Blanco?
No. Clue number three. Only played three games for West Ham. So, him and player two are full 10 appearances for the Ams.
Good luck to him.
Clue number four. Represented England and Uruguay at youth level.
Guillermo Franco?
No.
What?
Don't know.
I thought you'd get it on that because it's... Clue number five, his dad won the FA Cup. You're going to both be annoyed when you hear this. The producer, Kieran, has got that right and he doesn't know the answers.
Go on, recap.
Recap. Born in Spain, debut was against Crystal Palace in 2014. Only played three games for West Ham. Represented England and Uruguay.
Louis Jimenez?
No.
Oh,
represented
whatever.
England, Uruguay, youth level. His dad won the FA Cup.
With West Ham?
Not with West Ham, no.
Oh, this is hard, this one.
Proper.
I mean, she's making fantastic
His dad
radio.
Yeah. Played for Chelsea and Spurs. I'm giving you added clues now.
We've had a really bad day.
Yeah, right? I mean, 10 appearances between two players is a little bit right. Can we?
I mean, this is really.
Right, what, you want to stand player three? You want to go to player two? What's the matter
Should
with you
do,
two,
James? Player two.
Yeah, we'll let's go back to
player, right, player two. Yeah. Career began at Crewe, 1982. Joined West Ham on loan in December 1996. Played seven games for West Ham. Managed Luton, Hartlepool, Grimsby. Won the Premier League with Blackburn Rovers.
Can we have another clue though?
Well, there's no clues there. I will have to think of my own. I told you, scored against Arsenal when it was that
mural.
I don't know why that sticks in my head. Wait, I need to get some clues if possible. But I will read you. Signed, career began at Crewe 1982.
Are you thinking? No, it can't be him.
You played for West Ham in 96 for seven games.
You're going to have to
Mike
talk
Newell.
That is correct.
Who?
That is correct.
Who?
Yes.
Career began at Crewe 1982, joined West Ham on loan in December 1996, played seven games for West Ham, managed Luton, Hartlepool, Grimsby, won the Premier League with Blackburn, Mike Newell.
Did you see his notes?
Nah, just I'm just really good at...
remembering old Luton managers.
Right. No, I just remember Blackburn squad. Ask me anything about Blackburn squad when they won the league and I know nothing.
So. Yeah, definitely. All right, player number three, come on. And I've gave you added clues. Born in Spain, debut was against Crystal Palace in 2014. Only played three games for West Ham. Represented England and Uruguay at youth level. That's a key clue.
Elliot Lee.
Elliot Lee represented England and Uruguay. You're really snatching now.
Poyet, Diego Poyet.
That is correct. And it is 2-1 to Will as one. That is the end of the quiz. What's the matter with you two?
Mike Neal's got to be the worst.
I think that was a great
one. Just quickly, Reese, that is the worst one he's ever come up with.
Have you noticed that whenever Will don't get it, they're the worst?
I'm going to make a claim here. I think that's the best one anyone's guessed.
Nah, obviously we all
know. You had no idea.
We know.
That was better than your
Mark Reaper. We all know that's universally accepted as the best one.
I think Mike Newell.
And then words from Reese's mouth last week. Jordan Spence was the hardest one he said he's ever done.
I'd have Mike Newell. I've forgotten his name already.
Yeah,
Mike
I'll have Margaret Newell. Yeah.
Well, not been funny. We said. Remember, I was 3 weeks behind last time, James. That's when I started to come back. And
well, so it's now 8-6. There's only two games in it. Still a big cushion there. Obviously, we're staying around for another half an hour. James is leaving us, unbelievable. He just wins and then he just like waltzes out or something.
Well, loses and waltzes out.
Oh, yeah, he lost.
Yeah, I'm done.
I know you're used to giving the victory to James, Charlie.
Moral victory.
I'm leaving after that defeat. I'm never wearing this jumper again because you don't like it.
But, James, I don't want you to think we're doing the opposition view without you. So, just quickly on Liverpool and on Brighton, two quick score predictions for you before we get some guests on to actually talk about those games.
Do you know what? After everything I've said, I think we'll beat Liverpool 1-0. I'll give him a goal 2-1, and we'll lose to Brighton 2-1.
Typical West Ham.
Because that's what we do. It's the West Ham way.
Well, this is the West Ham way, and we are West Ham, as we are. We're here every week, but there's a little special something today because we're going on for another 30 minutes. We're going to be doing a full preview of the Liverpool and Brighton games. Love Sports. You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Will Pugh. We've lost James Jones. He's left the building for the night. He can talk about West Ham no longer. The fallout, that's how bad it got. Weirdly, I'm getting to hear this music at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday. We're just more West Ham, Will. There's never enough West Ham.
I'm normally walking towards the station with Jonesy. Crying. Absolutely fuming with the quiz, saying, we've got to get rid of Reese. We've got to get someone else in. This is ridiculous. But no, this week, buzzing. Happy days.
Oh, so Reese can stay?
Yeah, he can this week. Yeah, and Mike Newell, I'm not having that.
I thought that was class.
Nah, that's got to be the worst one he's ever come up with. He's come up with a couple of sketchy ones. I feel like now...
Say that when you don't get it right, though.
No, but I actually won this week, so I feel like it's better to stay true to what I believe and criticise him, even though he helps out the show week in, week out, and it's probably the best feature that we do, and we couldn't do it without him. I'm still going to go for him.
I'm going to go there. I'm going to be bold. It's not the best feature on this show, bar probably all of the fan shows. It's the best feature. It's sad that it comes Tuesday and I have a very long week to go after it. But we do enjoy the quiz. Well, hopefully you've stayed with us because Will will be giving us a preview of sorts. Two games for us to look at. Liverpool tomorrow night. We know how well they're going. They play West Ham. It couldn't be going any worse for West Ham. A real opposites one then. And then Brighton, we'll be talking about that in 15 minutes because obviously Andy Naylor, the Brighton reporter for The Athletic, will be joining us to give us a full and proper opposition view. Will, we're doing something of a special now because you're going to have your say on the Liverpool game, but Kieran Critchard will be joining us, a Liverpool fan in the studio, to have his say on his beloved team. Of course, he supports Liverpool. He's from London. He lives 500 miles away, so he has to support. I think he supports the Patriots. Just glory hunter.
Yeah, you know the fan.
Yeah, we'll get him on anyway. He can have his say. But before we let him speak, we may give him a minute or so. Liverpool tomorrow night. Can West Ham do it? How do they do it?
You know what, mate? I think with the Liverpool game, and I think I'm going to speak generally here because it would be easy for me, as I'm sure a lot of fans are doing, to just write the game off already. And I honestly think this is sort of what's people and the fans are falling out of love with the league a little bit now with games like this, because you've got at least two. Man City are an absolute stalwart of a football team as well. I know they haven't been quite up to it this year, but that gives you at least four games out of your season where fans just shrug their shoulders and go, nah, what's the point? Almost not even worth talking about. Do you know what I mean? And I think, really, when I started watching football, I'm sure it was similar for you at West Ham, even when Manchester United, who were in their absolute pomp.
Absolutely.
They were, you know, they were sweeping aside all comers. But what people don't realise, Ferguson, a lot of the leagues he won was never by the huge margins that you see and that we're certainly going to see this season. I know it's historic because Liverpool haven't won it for a while. But the margin they're going to win it by is going to be a huge anti-climax. And I honestly think games like this and teams having the ability to be so strong and throw so much money at it and just have a monopoly over all of the good players, it really is sort of one of the worst things about modern day football, because and James said it earlier on, he might not appreciate me repeating it, but he said, you know, he would only be going for Liverpool to watch Liverpool. And there really is that sense. A lot of people, I've had a few texts today, people ask me for spare tickets, and you know, it's because they want to go and watch the team who are going to win the Premier League. It's not really because they feel like you used to in the old days when Man U would come to town. You'd think, you know what, it doesn't matter. I know they're really good, but we'll give them a game here. We've got half a chance. And I think, honestly, I might be completely wrong, but I sort of feel like you write it off already, and you kind of, if you can limp away with just a 2-0 defeat, then you kind of go, oh, that's all right.
Well, before we get into that Liverpool game, Will, I have to give you credit, because, you know, it's not going the greatest for the Hammers this season. We're trying to have a positive show, but this may be... will be a positive moment for the show. We just had a text in, this one from Darren saying, "This show is what I live for. Thank you so much for putting it on. It's brilliantly entertaining all round. I think the obvious thing is we're going to end up beating Liverpool and then we'll end up losing to Brighton. As you guys have said, typical West Ham. I went to the Cup game on Saturday and it was the worst performance I've ever seen from a West Ham team. So the good thing is it can only get better from here on in. Come on, you Irons." Darren from Surrey. This is what the guys live for. Will, the job's done, mate.
Yeah, to be honest. No,
cheers, Darren.
We do appreciate messages like that, and we've said it before, because it becomes a bit of a, you know, it does become a bit of a slog. It's the same for everyone. You know, to be honest, we've said it before, Charlie. Me and James are just two West Ham fans sitting in here. We just happen to have a big pair of headphones and a microphone in front of us. These are conversations that we know, you know, Ivan, with my dad and my family, and we know all my mates have the same conversations. That's what we're doing. So, yeah, I mean, thanks to Darren for the kind message.
And absolutely.
You know what, that's probably been... if it wasn't for the quiz win, that would have been the best thing about the show for me.
Second best thing to talk to.
But no, to be honest, I find it, if James was here, I think he'd probably jump on board, as you heard him earlier, with the Liverpool, and it'll be typical West Ham to beat Liverpool. I just find it hard to believe, mate, honestly. And you know what's really tough, and that's what I was saying to James earlier on. I sat at that game, the West Brom game on Saturday, went with my dad, and you know, we just had a laugh. We had a good day together because that's why we've always gone to football.
About that.
But honestly, mate, that's literally why we spoke to each other. I left my ticket last minute because we were in an iron about going, and I spoke to him on the morning. I said, "Oh, go on, it'd be nice to see you." Just went and had a nice lunch, caught up, and had a laugh.
Yeah.
And then the game, we were just sitting there. We knew what was going to happen before, mate. We knew what was going to happen, and you sit there and watch it play out. And it's at that stage now where we were just shrugging at the end, where we were like, "Yeah, well, we knew that was going to happen, but it was nice to see you."
That's the worst thing, because people go, "Oh, how was the football?" You go, "Oh, that was rubbish, but a great time with the old man. We had a pint, we had a bit of food." And then the football is very secondary, and that's almost when you know that this season, that the passion's even gone for the fans. Just before we bring Kieran in then, obviously Liverpool, I don't think they can go unbeaten. I don't know. I don't think that can ever happen again. I know one team's done it, so of course it can happen. But maybe, like you said, they've won it. It's an anti-climax. Will their eye be taken off the ball? Because they surely will have to have a slip. And if they do have a slip, why not tomorrow? Why not West Ham?
I still think that... I just don't know what we're bringing to the party, mate. I think you saw it at West Brom on Saturday, like James mentioned. It was virtually our strongest team. I know the subs he made at half-time. You take Balbuena off and put Ogbonna in. Yeah, it was Diop who started, wasn't it? And really, there shouldn't be much between them. There was a time not too long ago where Balbuena and Diop were... Balbuena was the general and everyone loved him, and he was one of the main two at the
and other clubs
of the
were coming in for him.
Exactly.
Supposedly. Yeah. We were doing that transfer talk.
Exactly that. Yeah, so I think you've got virtually our strongest team there. If they can't give West Brom a game, the only slight glimmer of hope that I might be clinging on to is that... because it's Liverpool coming to town, all of those players who clearly don't, or a lot of them, who don't like playing there anymore, will think the eyes of the world are going to be on this game. And if I have a decent, if I put a shift in here, someone might notice me. Because when I'm playing West Brom at home on a chilly Saturday in January in the FA Cup, no one's watching other than the 60,000 people in the ground, but no one who matters to them, i.e. someone who might give them a move elsewhere in the summer. But Wednesday, that won't be the case, will it? Everyone will be watching. They'll be watching the league winners in waiting, playing in a stadium in London, blah, blah, blah. That's the only glimmer I think they might up their game, because it's Liverpool, and I hope someone notices them.
Well, we hope so. World champions, European champions, Liverpool. It is our Liverpool correspondent, is Kieran Critchard. Kieran, obviously, I know straight away, we'll say your team will not blink. They will go undefeated, and tomorrow will surely be a routine win for Liverpool.
I think we can. I don't think we will go unbeaten, because over 38 games, you only need one bad day or one person to be sent off and that unbeaten season could go. And also, and I'm not trying to devalue Arsenal's unbeaten season, but you go back to that point, you had 3-4 really good sides and then a lot of average sides. Whereas now, you've got the established big six, then you've got Wolves, you've got Leicester to add into that mix. All it requires is just one off day, and potentially, and I know people are trying to get Liverpool fans to say the season, the title is done, we should win it, but I'm not going to say those words, that if we do have the title sewn up with 5-6 games to go, then there might be that tendency, especially if we're still in the Champions League, there might be that tendency to either rest players or just have an off day. So I think we're capable. I just don't think we will. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Obviously, you want to go unbeaten, but it's not going to devalue the importance of winning the title.
You won't lose that record Wednesday, though, will you?
I don't think so. Although last year, that was one of our worst performances all season at the London Stadium. It was a Monday night.
Bit of controversy as well.
End of January, beginning of February. Our goal was offside, if I remember right. And Milner, when he crossed it, was
only
offside.
Only by about 7 yards, to be
only
fair,
by about a mile.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we switched off when West Ham had a good free kick move just outside our penalty area. And we were awful. And that was at a time where we drew against Leicester a matter of days before that. We had a 7-point lead, and then that just kind of massively decreased in the space of two games, and that was one of our worst performances. Also, I'm a bit annoyed about facing Mikel Antonio. He always seems to get a goal against Liverpool, no matter whether it's home or away, Upton Park, London Stadium, Anfield. He does score a goal, and I'd be very surprised if Antonio, I'm not sure whether what his fitness is like, but I'd be very surprised if he didn't start tomorrow for West Ham.
He came on he was one of the three changes Moyes made at half time against West Brom, and right at the beginning, the first 5 or 10 minutes, he picked up the ball. He literally sprinted the whole end of the pitch with the ball at his feet. And then I said to my dad soon after, I said, I think he's injured there, because he disappeared for the rest of the half. He knew that we'd made three subs after 45 minutes and that Moyes wasn't going to be able to do anything anyway. And after a really elaborate start where you thought, oh, he's going to try and force this game and make something happen, he barely did anything then. He became really immobile, and he's not the sort of player to do that unless he had a problem. And, you know, he's notorious for being a walking hamstring or groin problem, because, I mean, he's got more muscles than anyone else in the planet's got anyway, so one of them's bound to pull.
Muscle fatigue is the new injury at the minute. Kieran, you've heard us talk West Ham now for the last 80 minutes or so, all the problems that's going on, but it is at West Ham tomorrow night, the game. Where, from what you've seen of West Ham this season, can West Ham actually hurt you? Where have Liverpool, if they have been, where's the vulnerabilities? Where is the weakness, if there is one?
I think one of the big ones, and this is going back more first half of the season rather than the last month, is lapses in concentration. And it might happen 55, 60, 65 minutes into the game, but just someone switches off, and it can be an individual that has a moment where he just switches off. One player potentially tries to play offside when the rest aren't. So I think lapses in concentration, as I mentioned, Mikel Antonio will be a threat, as he always is against us. I think one thing that I'm sure West Ham fans are relieved about is the fact that Sadio Mane is not going to be available, because up against...
Is that Defo? Is that certain?
He's ruled out for tomorrow, pretty unlikely for the weekend, up against Zabaleta. And I think, actually, I know Mo Salah usually plays on the right, I'd be throwing him on the left-hand side and just running him out, because Ryan Fredericks is injured, so Zabaleta is going to start. I'd be putting as much pace down that side as possible, trying to just run in behind.
You said, didn't you, Will?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm absolutely gutted to hear the news that Sadio Mane, my triple captain in fantasy football this
week. That's what you really care about.
That's the thing that's got my ground my gears the most. I think as far as the West Ham game goes, I don't think it matters too much who plays. Honestly, I know it sounds, and I'm depressing myself saying all of this stuff, but I just feel you've got to be realistic with it, to be honest, because Ryan Fredericks isn't exactly he shouldn't be handing out defensive masterclasses left, right and centre. And Zabaleta, again, was a good player in his day. His just legs are so gone now. It's borderline embarrassing when you watch him. He's just so slow. Really slow. And, you mentioned about Salah then. He will have him in his absolute pocket, but I think it could be anyone, to be quite frank.
Well, Liverpool, obviously, you are our special guest, Kieran. We'll give you the first chance to have your say, your score prediction for tomorrow night.
I don't think it'll be easy. I know everyone's saying that in West Ham have nothing to lose. They absolutely don't. I know that obviously West Ham fans will want something, but in reality, a lot of people are not expecting them to get anything. So in that sense, all the pressure is on Liverpool. I think we will win. I think we've won 10 games, I think, the Premier League this season by one goal. So I think it's going to be by one goal. I think just 1-0 to us. I think it'll be one of those tough nights where it's just a case of sometimes grinding it out, and we found a way this year to do that. So I'd say 1-0 Liverpool.
He's going 1-0 Liverpool. Will, it falls to you. What are you saying?
I like the thinking, and honestly, I think it could be a Leicester Southampton earlier in the season. Not nine. But I think it could be a 5 or 6. You mentioned that there and about it being a tough night, Kieran. I think that requires, at least before anything else, like when I mentioned Burnley earlier on, but to travel to a team who work hard and are well organised. But I don't think we'll be going out with any intention of, right, let's put 11 men behind the ball. I think it will just be the usual 11 players scattered about over the pitch with sort of no real idea what any of the other ones are doing. And then, like you say, we even if we dare to ping into Liverpool's half at all at any stage of the game, we couldn't do it to West Brom till the 82nd minute, whatever it was the other day. If we dare move into Liverpool's half, the speed on the counter-attack that Liverpool have got has clearly already this season decimated even semi-decent to good teams. I think we're able to be picked off by woeful teams or just teams that aren't particularly good or talented this year. So I generally think it's going to be a bit of a massacre, 5 or 6.
Wow, strong words from Will. That is the Liverpool preview saying West Ham could be on the end of a very heavy, heavy defeat. Maybe the game that is more important or the one they're looking to is the teams in and around you, the so-called six-pointer. It is Brighton on the weekend, and Andy Naylor is joining us for his say next.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with We Are West Ham. Obviously, a League Cup semi-final taking place as well tonight. Aston Villa 1-0 up. Leicester just hit the bar, making a fist of it in this second leg, but we don't care really because we're talking everything where West Ham are concerned. We've just done a Liverpool preview. Two games for us to look at. A massive game on the weekend. It is Brighton. It's a six-pointer. It always depends on how you do with the teams in and around you. Create that gap. It is Brighton. It is huge, and we need the man for it. It is Andy Naylor, Brighton reporter for The Athletic. Andy, thank you for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. Obviously, it's massive for West Ham. It's huge for Brighton. They need this just as much. What are you making of the contest on the weekend?
I think it is a huge game for both clubs. Brighton come into it on the back of two disappointing results. They drew at home 1-1 with Aston Villa when they looked in charge in the first half, were ahead at half time, lost their way a bit in the second half, then went down to Bournemouth and again controlled the game for the first half hour. Had a sort of mad 5 minutes, conceded two goals in quick succession and ended up losing 3-1. So they've taken 1 point from those two games against two of the teams around them. They've got two games coming up now, West Ham, and after that they've got Watford at home. So that package of four games, they really need to start picking up points from those.
Andy, evening. It's a strange one. You touched on it there, and those results recently, the Bournemouth shocked me. Not in Maine, to be honest, because of the shambolic form that Bournemouth had been on before, and I couldn't see anything else than a Brighton win. You mentioned the Villa game 1-1. They lost at Everton, but it was only 1-0, and drew with Chelsea in the league before that. And you know, there's not a lot in these games. I've watched Brighton a few times this season, not as much as you, of course, but and they look okay. They've got some half decent players. There seems to be like an oddly positive feel around them under Potter, and it's almost a little bit of a surprise, I think, certainly for me, when you look at the table and you're reminded how close to trouble they actually are. What is it is that a feeling that's shared among the fans as well, or is that just an outsider's view?
No, I think really the narrative of the season has been they have played some good stuff under Graham Potter. He's completely transformed the way they play. The setup is very flexible, very fluid. There's lots of changes in formation during a game. Different players moved into different positions, substitutes used quite early often. And there's been a lot of games. I go right the way back to August, the first home game of the season against West Ham. Was almost quite a good example. I mean, for me, Brighton should have won that game.
They came out of it
with a 1-1 draw. There have been lots of games like that. There have been periods. They went to Crystal Palace, their big rivals, really played them off the park for 70 minutes. But you always had the worry they were only 1-0 up.
That's 1-0, wasn't it? Yeah.
Zaha, and they end up 1-1. At this level, the problem Brighton have got is at this level in the Premier League, a side of their ilk is not going to dominate the game for 90 minutes. They're having good periods of games, a half, 30 minutes, when they're in control. You've got to capitalise on those periods. They haven't been doing that enough. Bournemouth was a case in point. Half an hour, totally in charge, but it was 0-0.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, they've only really had one sort of real drubbing this season, wasn't it? And that was away to Man City, which is no shame to anyone, of course. With looking ahead to the weekend's game and Saturday, West Ham have sort of developed a little bit of a Brighton, like their bogey team, if you like, especially more so when Glenn Murray would just score goals against us for fun. And looking into it, I'm pretty nervous. It's such a huge game for West Ham because it's the only real winnable one that people see we've got in amongst playing Liverpool twice and Man City thrown into the mix as well. How do you see the game going? Are you sort of worried from a Brighton point of view?
Well, I think they've got to see it as an opportunity. You've hinted there, you know, with West Ham, the nerves. If they go into that game on the back of a bad result against Liverpool, I think the crowd are going to be very edgy. And also because probably the way Brighton play will make them even more edgy, because Brighton will probably have a decent amount of the ball. That's the way they play now. They play out from the back, very possession-based, quite, a slow build-up sometimes, but they can introduce the tempo into it as well. It just tends with Brighton to kind of fall down in the final third. It's the bit they're missing, just in the final third of the pitch, the final quality pass, the final cross, the final finish. That's where it's falling. If they can put that right, they'll be okay.
It sounds like they've got two-thirds more of the pitch mastered than West Ham have, though, Andy. So,
well, I'm not so sure about the defensive part of Bournemouth. They did fall apart a bit at Bournemouth for a little spell there before half-time, which is generally uncharacteristic of them.
Overall, Andy, a fan still buying into Graham Potter, because this was a man that, you know, very early on into his Brighton reign was handed a new extension. He got another 6-year deal. A fan still seeing it that way? We know how fickle fans can be. West Ham made a new appointment. Not quite sure of David Moyes or the ambition of the club. Now Brighton are in this relegation fight. Are we still, you know, on the same page with Potter here?
Well, it's interesting. You know, that's fans for you, isn't it? The way things turn. You know, you go back to December and they won 2-1 at Arsenal. It's the first time they away to one of the big six. And, you know, everyone's really, really upbeat and kind of how much better it is than under Houghton. You know, it was boring. You didn't look forward to games. And then results go the other way and everyone's looking and saying, well, we're no better off in the table than we were under Houghton, you know. The truth space in between. You know, that they're not as good as some people would like them like to believe. They're not as bad as other people would like to believe. Their position probably now reflects where they're at. Bear in mind, it feels longer, but Graham Potter only took over in May, and he's changed a lot in a short space of time. So I think there needs to be a little bit of patience. I still feel they'll be all right this season, but they can't take anything for granted. It's so tight in the bottom half, really, of the Premier League, isn't it? So.
Yeah, it is. And they didn't, obviously, in what was a six-pointer for them against Bournemouth, they didn't get any points then. They're hoping for a better return on the weekend. Andy, what is your score prediction?
I'm going to go, and this won't please the West Ham fans, but I'm going to go with a 2-1 win for Brighton.
Right, Andy, we definitely won't be inviting you back. Andy, I'm just kidding, of course. Really good to get you on and get your insight. I really appreciate you coming on, I've seen and reading your articles. Brighton reporter for The Athletic there, Andy Naylor. He went with a Brighton win. We've pretty much knew that, Will, but what are you going with them for the weekend?
I think it's going to be one of those. I'm not going to say it's going to be terrible after. I do think we'll get slapped at Liverpool. I think it'll be 1-1 against Brighton, but I think it'll be one of them where you're like, oh, all right, we haven't lost, but it wasn't enough and we needed more. So yeah, I think 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1. It's a difficult one because I don't want to say like make or break the season, but how are you looking at it, Will, now? You know, what's going on at the minute? Are you breaking it up into little tiers, and or do you go, look, if we need the 3 points here because I'm looking at the games after, you mentioned the City and so on. Are you doing that now? Because it's almost a run to this finish.
Yeah, I'm just looking at those last six. We've got Newcastle, Burnley, Norwich, Watford, United and Villa. I mean, they're going to be enormous games. I can't see us getting any. We mentioned there about Man City and Liverpool. After that, in the next five, we've got Southampton. Okay, they're looking up though now. Southampton at home, Arsenal away, Wolves at home, Tottenham away, Chelsea at home. I mean, another cluster of games after that against difficult teams.
You beat Chelsea, though. It never works like that, does it? I mean, I'm asking the questions, but it just does not work like that, football.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's coming down to those last six for me. I say Newcastle, Burnley, Norwich, Watford, United and Villa. I think it's going to be a last game of the season shootout with Aston Villa. The thing is, Charlie, it is difficult to, when you ask me the questions, it is difficult to dance, I said it earlier on, between being realistic and saying what I actually think will happen and sort of trying to remain upbeat. There's just not a lot going on at the moment on the pitch that gives me any hope that, oh, we're going to dig something out of somewhere, or we've got the ability to dig in, you know.
Well, I appreciate you trying to provide that little bit of hope.
I'm
with you. I'm in the boat with you. I'm trying to provide that anything to. But either way, the show is always upbeat. I thank Will and James for that. Well, this has been an extended West Ham special. 90 minutes tonight. Maybe not the perfect time on the back of two defeats, but who knows? We'll give them another 90 minutes when we could be celebrating, when who knows what happens. Maybe beating Liverpool tomorrow and then Brighton on the weekend. But we will be back at the same time as we are every week, Tuesday, 7 to 8, right here on Love Sport Radio. Love Sport.